Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live, first hour of the work week. So happy to have you here with us. Thank you for being here with us. Our number 888-318-7884. I am your host, Cy Kellett. And this hour we talk about evangelization, helping those around you to move closer to Christ. It's actually, I do believe that all Christians are called to be evangelizers. Another way of saying that is being a missionary. A missionary is someone who shares the good news, goes on the mission to share the good news that Christ is risen. And from that flows all this stuff about who he is and what he does in our lives. The love of God, sharing the love of God, that's the essence of the good news. 888-318-7884. If you have questions about evangelizing, this is your hour. Our guest this hour is Dr. Carrie Gress, a doctor in philosophy from Catholic University of America, and she is a faculty member of Pontifex University. She's the author of Nudging Conversions, a practical guide to bringing those you love back to the church, and also of The Marian Option, which my wife is now reading and I get to hear about every single night. Did you know? And Marian Consecration for Children was her most recent book. Dr. Carrie Gress, thanks for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me again.
So I got news. Like, I actually got news in my inbox this morning. It's usually just complaints or bill collectors and whatnot. I got news that there is a new website called Helena Daily, helenadaily.com. It's for meaningful content for Catholic women, essentially. And you're one of the instigators of this trouble.
Yes, guilty as charged. Guilty as charged. I think a few friends of mine and I got together and realized there's this gaping hole in when it comes to women's articles in the faith. We've got all these fabulous aggregates like New Advent or Big Pulpit that we love, but they're not going to publish things about decorating your house. So it just seemed like kind of a natural fit. Why don't we start putting these things together, that both theological things that are interesting and important, but also there's a lot of great articles out there written by Catholic women or even secular women that I think really hit the heart of Catholic women that we should be promoting and trying to help each other out, encouraging each other in our everyday walk to become more like Christ.
I'm guessing that Helena is Constantine's mother. Am I correct about that?
Or you are indeed exactly right. Yes. St. Helen, who, of course, went to the Holy Land and rediscovered all these great relics of Christ's passion. And we thought, you know, we need to find these relics, these spiritual relics, these gifts that we have been given through the church and reclaim them. And I think a lot of times we feel like we kind of have to be on the defensive about it. We feel like we're not clearly not living within a Catholic ethos in the world today. And so to try and find a place where we can encourage each other, seems pretty vital. And to also just help people discover what St. Helen discovered, but also what so many Catholics and Christians over the centuries have found to be just, part and parcel of our salvation and also daily life. That's really the goal of it.
So helenadaily.com. So you can go there each morning. You can go to Helena Daily, and that can be your morning read. You can just find
exactly
a whole group, like a bunch of articles. It seems to me, I wonder if you share this impression at all, but I have had this growing impression for about 10 years that there is an incredible unleashing of the power of the Holy Spirit in the world via Catholic women. It just seems like this is Catholic women's moment. I don't think the world sees it at all. I think it's a completely under the radar thing as far as, CNN or Fox News or anything like that. But the intellectual power and the spiritual kind of evangelizing power of Catholic women is extraordinary right now.
It is. And in fact, I was commenting this morning to a friend, we could not have built this website 10 years ago. We would not have had the content, but I think that it really, you're right. The Holy Spirit has unleashed something, and it's really directed at women who are just living their everyday lives as Catholic women and trying to share that wisdom. And there's a lot of blogs. There's, you know, there's all kinds of resources that we didn't used to have. And I think that's a great sign of some serious health in our church. I mean, that's this, it's exciting to see sort of some new buds growing in the faith, because of course it was this, you know, desert for many, many decades. I know when I was converting, you know, I was the only girl my age that I knew that actually had faith. I was probably, you know, I went to daily mass. I was 23 years old. And it was me and all these much older women. So I think now it's, you can find more on the internet, so much more support. And really, this is the way it should be. This is what women, you know, if you look at Roman times and how the church was spread, people like Saint Cecilia and Saint Helen, all of those were hugely influential in their families' lives. And mm-hmm. so that's really a dramatic way in which the faith was spread. And I think we, you know, at our peril, if we overlook that, we're really missing something huge and a huge vocational call that all women have.
What do you think that the, it strikes me that we have these wonderful young women who work here and mm-hmm. and I see them, they're graduating from these Catholic universities, or maybe they're not graduating from Catholic university, but they're getting involved in a young adult mission program or something that's, whether it's Curcio or any of the new movements. And it seems to me they're looking at what the Catholic Church teaches about women, and they're actually finding a sense of relief there. Like, oh, that's what I've been looking for, which is, again, not at all what the world would tell you.
Yes, completely different. And I think this is the hard thing is, you know, our minds are kind of like pendulums. We swing from one side of the pendulum to the next. We think, okay, the world's not offering us the right thing. So people automatically in their minds think that have this very distorted impression of what the church is saying about women. And instead of actually looking at what the content is and what's really there as far as understanding the dignity of women and how much the church has given to us and to society through with these articulations over the centuries of what it means to be a woman and our equal dignity to men, but complementarity, all of those kinds of things just aren't making it their way out there very easily. So it's always wonderful to hear that is happening for women. And I think that was part of my own journey, was just realizing, you know, I have all these people who are living by what the world is saying and, you know, birth control, abortions, they're in these hookup relationships over and over and over again. And these are incredibly unhappy women, and they ended up having incredibly unhappy marriages. And so it was really just a remarkable gift to be able to find Humanae Vitae and the teachings of the church to say, you know, this is not how we have to live, and this is not how women flourish. And, you know, the world tells us that over and over again. And it's very hard to find in our secular world anything that is opposed to this. I mean, even checking out of the grocery store, everything is sort of focused on this model. You know, we have to have abortion so that women can flourish. And of course, it's just, you know, preposterous notion that we've all kind of swallowed, and yet we're not paying attention to really the demographics of how miserable women are. And so that's what this, I think, is also exciting about Helena Daly, is trying to, you know, a very small way, trying to help chip away at this and give women some kind of alternative news source so they don't feel like, you know, the only thing that's out there is People Magazine or whatever else is at the newsstand kind of things. And that's also, of course, the internet has been great for that. But in general, as far as Catholic women, you know, it's just an idea that I think it's ready. The world's ready for it. The Catholic women are ready for it.
Yeah. I would say well past ready. I think the world is
ready. I was shocked when I realized there wasn't a site like this. Like, why has this not been done before? Surely someone's done this. Yeah. And no one's done it. So anyway, it's pretty fun.
That seems to be kind of how you operate, though. You're like, oh, no one's doing this? I'll do it. But I mean, you're not doing it alone. I don't want to give anyone that impression.
No. Yeah, I wouldn't have done this project for sure by myself. But yeah.
Yeah. And I know the two women who are kind of your partners in this come from the podcast Thriving in the Trenches.
Right.
Is that right?
Becky Carter and Megan Schreiber. Mm-hmm, exactly. And they have this fantastic podcast. They both interview, have great guests, and then they also do some solo podcasts just on different topics. And they've been great to work with. I think we all have brought different gifts to it. So it's been a fun partnership.
Check it out at helenadaly.com, helenadaly.com. I didn't know when we had you scheduled for today that today would be the day that you would start a brand new Catholic women's news site, but
I didn't either. So it's just the way the Holy Spirit.
I feel like there's something sneaky about this. I think
believe me, there's all suffer from busy mom syndrome. I mean, I think that last week we had thought about launching it, and then there were too many things that came up, and we all have a lot of kids and busy with that. So we couldn't have timed it better, though. I think it's
well, good. I hope lots of people will visit it. I went through it today, and it's just interesting, the mix of stories there. It's very, it's got a lot of, it's very Catholic, it's very human, I guess would be a way to say it. It's covering the whole person.
And that's what we really wanted, because I think a lot of times Catholic women feel like they're sort of straddling, you know, here's my faith on one side of my life, and then on the other side of my life are things related to, you know, what I'm wearing, what my children are wearing, what I'm feeding them, how I'm decorating my house. And it doesn't have to be that way. I think this is the beauty of the Catholic ethos. When it's, you have a healthy environment, a healthy culture, these things work together instead of feeling like, you know, I think a lot of times I feel like maybe I'm not being ascetical enough or whatnot. And I have to remember, you know, my vocation is to be a mother. I'm not a religious. I don't need to be dressing in sackcloth. And so I think that's the difficulty for a lot of us, is trying to figure out how do we combine these and just find things that can enliven our homes and bring in the values that we want, instead of feeling like we're dragging in the trash that the world is presenting. So that's kind of the goal, too.
888-318-7884, the number 888-31-TRUTH, if you prefer the spelled version, 888-31-TRUTH. Dr. Carrie Gress is our guest, and we're talking about evangelizing. If you have questions about evangelizing in today's world, please give us a call. We'd be happy to talk with you about it. Or if you have any questions about Helena Daly, we'd probably take those as well. We'll be right back with more Dr. Gress on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
God helps those who help themselves. Preach the gospel always. When necessary, use words. We all hear sayings like these, and we assume they come from the Bible, the saints, or famous Christian writers. Nobody can seem to place their origin, but by sheer repetition, they've acquired a halo of truth. In my new book, What the Saints Never Said, I look at over 40 of these well-known sayings and track them back to their original sources. You'll be surprised at what I found. Some are close to what was really said. Many were misattributed or twisted beyond their original meaning, and more than a few of these sayings were simply made up. I hope by setting the record straight, I can make you aware of the theological errors that can lead us away from the faith and offer you authentic quotes from Scripture, saints, and scholars that will draw you closer to our faith. Get your copy of What the Saints Never Said by calling 1-888-291-8000, by visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
If only evangelization was easy. But the truth of the matter is that most of the time, it's not. Talking about the Catholic faith is enough of a challenge even before dealing with the roadblocks that keep people from listening with an open mind. Apologist Carlo Broussard recognized that as he wrote Prepare the Way, a guide to step-by-step strategies that readers can use to break down those barriers. Barriers to the very existence of God and religious truth, barriers to basic Christian beliefs, and barriers to the distinctive teachings and claims of the Catholic Church. Don't let obstacles get in your way. Learn how to overcome them. Order your copy of Prepare the Way today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We're starting off with a bang this week. We got Dr. Carrie Gress with us. She made news today by starting a new site, daily news site, and spiritual growth site and all that for Catholic women, HelenaDaily.com. If you'd like to talk about women and evangelization in particular, that today might be the perfect day for that. But we'll take any general evangelization questions. Am I correct, Dr. Gress, in saying that we all are called to be evangelizers? Mm-hmm. Is that real?
Absolutely. Like, yeah, no, I think that's absolutely the case. And that's how our faith grows when we give it away to others. And I always come back to that as sort of the basic spiritual, principle of evangelization. You can't give away what you don't have. And so evangelization, of course, always starts with the individual who's trying to evangelize. You got to have real faith yourself that can then be passed on. But absolutely, it's something that we're all called to do in our daily lives. And I think people have a lot of misconceptions about how to do it and how it works. And so I think that's one of the things that I've tried to help people with is take some of the fear out of it and make it, painless and fun and joyful instead of feeling like this, overwhelming chore that I don't even know where to start with.
Yeah, right. Oh, it's like I'm on my gotta do list that I never get
exactly.
To that. Yeah,
exactly.
Right. Lots of calls, shall we? Sure. Shall we go to call? Okay. Patrick in Rockwall, Texas. Oh, excuse me.
Hi,
I apologize. Rockwall, Texas, listening on 9:10 a.m. Patrick, you're on with Dr. Carrie Grass.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Patrick.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. I'm with St. Paul Street Evangelization, mm-hmm. and we hit the streets, and we kind of have a script we use to kind of get people's attention to talk to us. But I've noticed there's like a demographic of people. A lot of times we get like kind of a no thanks, but they'll sort of, oh, okay, what's this whole rosary thing about? But we get this like kind of like hard line, no thanks, walk on. And I've been trying to brainstorm a way to get them to sort of, to stop.
mm-hmm.
I was wondering if you had any ideas on that.
I think that's a great question, Patrick. I think, thank you for doing what you do, because I think you're on the front lines of evangelization in a very dramatic and radical way that you're planting seeds that a lot of us are either not able to do or aren't courageous enough to do or what have you. But one of the things that I find so fascinating about evangelization is just the many layers that are there when it comes to bringing people back to the church. It seems like it's very rarely, one shot, a one and done. And maybe you've seen that in your experience. I've not seen it happen that easily. It's usually just an unfolding that happens in somebody's life. And so I feel like one of the things that you're doing is you're planting seeds that then can get germinated or watered or whatever by people later on in this individual's life, that God's already working through you in a very dramatic way. And then that's going to continue to unfold in that person's life, even if you don't see the direct fruit thereof. But, evangelization, I think one of the problems that we think about it is we think of it in terms of like a debate and a discussion. And if we only had the right words, that this is what's really going to dramatically change the life of someone. And, I haven't seen it work that clearly. Again, because I think there's all these layers and people have a lot of just issues that they've got to go through, especially because the church is, we've lost a lot of our moral clout. We've lost a lot of the moral battles, and there's so many things that have to be undone first or be, the things that people don't understand. I mean, let's just even talk about the Inquisition. These are the pieces that people need to start figuring out first. And so it doesn't happen, overnight generally. It's not to say it can happen. But the other thing that I think is fascinating too is just even, I think we live in a culture that is incredibly negative, and, so you being out there, being a positive light and offering people great things instead of just offering snark and sarcasm, which I feel like a lot of us, this is our main mode of evangelization, on Twitter or whatnot. I think that's, it's a great place to start. But it's also a very big piece is loving people where they are. And that's not to say that we accept where they are, but it's to have them understand that we love them as an individual, not because they're someone that we are trying to sell something to. And that seems to be the other rub, is people feel like they're being sold something. And that usually doesn't win over people very quickly.
Patrick, what do you make of all that?
No, I think it was all very good. And I think kind of driven down to something I've sort of been getting in my head. So I appreciate it.
So where you're in Rockwall, Texas, it says. So you go out somewhere on the street with a table and you invite people to conversation. How is it that you're evangelizing?
Most of the time, we bring a whole bunch of rosaries with us, and we sort of get people's attention by holding the rosary up and asking them, would you like a free rosary?
Oh.
And from there, we can usually get a conversation going. If they're Catholic, then we ask, mm-hmm. you know, where are you in your faith? And we help them or try and help them mm-hmm. come back if they've fallen away. And if they're
what I love
to explain what the rosary is.
What I love about that is the fact that you're giving them something. I know a good friend of mine, Mary Lisa Carney, who helped found 40 Days for Life. Her husband, Sean Carney, is the president of it right now. And she told me all these great stories about how she would help women at abortion clinics. And what she would do was she would point out, she would say things like, I love your purse, I love your shoes. She would connect with them on a very material level. And then through that, a relationship could sort of be created. And I think that's some of what we are aiming for with Helena Daly. But we're also, I can see that with your rosary. There's something very important about the tactile, even, of course, you know, bread and wine. These are very basic things that Christ used, that the church has always used. And so it's important for us to connect on those levels. So I think that sounds like a great place to start, Patrick.
Patrick, thanks for that call, and thanks for being out there evangelizing St. Paul Street Evangelization. They do wonderful things, and we consider them good friends here at Catholic Answers. So I feel confident saying, if you'd like to know more about doing, not everybody has the calling to street evangelization. Mm-hmm. I imagine. I mean, just mm-hmm. we're all called right. to evangelize. That doesn't mean everybody's got to be out on the street doing that, but some right. people have got to be out on the street. And if you have that call, St. Paul Street Evangelization is a great place to start.
Mm-hmm.
How about we go to Anonymous in Philadelphia, listening to EWTN on Sirius Satellite Radio. Anonymous, you are on with Dr. Cary Gress.
Thank you. And first off, let me just say that was a great answer to Patrick, because I'm a successful salesman, and you never open the conversation with, hey, buy something from me. So I
All right, good. I got something right. That's great.
But my question is, in evangelizing and defending the faith, you know, I came back to the church several years ago, but I'm running against a brand new objection, which has picked up steam lately, especially on social media. This is something that even way back in college, I had really liberal professors, and even they didn't make this claim. But I'm starting to get challenges about the historical proof of Jesus the man. So not even getting to whether he was the Son of God, but there's all this new stuff about, well, you know, Paul didn't write his letters till 70 years later, and then the Gospels were 100 years later, and 90% of the Gospels were rejected as false, and blah, blah, blah. And it's even to the point where I'm starting to question my own faith. I know it's a big question. Even if you guys have a book to point me to, I'd love to have the answers to this.
Yeah. So I'm going to actually punt that question to you, because you probably know better than I do as far as dealing with that particular issue.
Oh! So you're pumping it to me right away, before I can do any research. as far as historical books, the case for Christ is that what from you're talking about? Nick is saying something in my ear, because I am having trouble thinking of anything. I don't think of I don't have a Jimmy Akin kind of memory. It takes me a while to remember things. But the case for Christ is what's the guy's name that did a case for Christ? Lee Strobel, yeah. That's a possibility. I wonder, I'm looking into the booth to see if anybody else knows any on the historicity of Christ. I'll tell you what, how about this? Will you, anonymous caller from Philadelphia, will you just listen for a few minutes? Because I'm going to do a little research at the break, and I'll put that up for you. Would that work for you, Anonymous?
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm sorry that I just don't have very good recall on books and all that, those kinds of things. So give me a couple minutes and I'll have something for you. 888-318-7884 is the number. Anonymous, thanks for the call. Sorry that I'm slow on the uptake. 888-318-7884. Dr. Cary Gress is our guest today. We're talking about evangelization. She wrote one of the fine books on evangelization called Nudging Conversions, A Practical Guide to Bringing Those You Love Back to the Church. When we talk about everyone being called to be an evangelizer, and then I heard you say a little bit ago, well, we all have, what do you call it, overwhelmed mom syndrome or something, or busy mom syndrome, right?
Yes,
so
exactly.
I have right. some fear that when we say that, people really do feel overwhelmed in the modern mm-hmm. world, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. whether it's mom or dad or anybody. It's
right.
The people, I guess how to get the energy would be, you know, to evangelize?
Well, I think that's one of the things that's fascinating about it, is because when you if you feel like you have to mount the energy for it, then you might not actually be doing it right. There's a much easier way to do it. And one of the things that I love the best about evangelization is asking questions. This was one of these things that, you know, I'm a philosopher, my PhD is in philosophy, Socratic method. We're always asking questions or probe deeper. And then, of course, my husband pointed out, like, Christ asks questions all the time. And even Matthew's gospel, I think it's every chapter Christ asks a question. There may be like two that where there's no question asked. But this is an incredible tool. I think he actually uses it much more than parables, and it's sort of people don't pay attention to it. But what questions do is they allow you to not necessarily be the one who has to be the bearer of bad news, or to, you know, be pointing out something in someone's life. But when you ask someone a question, they have to respond in a way where they actually have to think about an answer and give an answer. And even if they give you a pat answer, they're going to still think about that question and wonder, was that a bad answer? Maybe it was a better answer. So I think that's one thing that you can do super easily that doesn't take a lot of energy to just even get the conversation moving.
More with Dr. Carrie Gress right after this, and I've already come up with some good answers to our anonymous caller, Carrie, so we'll get to that right after this. If you have questions about evangelization, if you would like to discuss evangelization, 888-318-7884, our number. We'll be right back with Dr. Carrie Gress.
It's the start of a new day for Morning Catholic Radio.
Isn't it the case that when you're stirring food in a pot, it burns less, like, because it's not just sitting there?
What about your forearms? You get some nice buff forearms when you're doing that stirring.
But let me say, I can totally get this for you, Gloria. You don't need any help stirring the pot.
You know, you all make it so easy for me.
Morning Glory, Catholic from the start. Weekday mornings, 7 Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Did you know that Catholic Answers Live is on TV? What began as a monthly series on EWTN in April of 2017 is now going to be coming to you on a weekly basis. You can catch Catholic Answers Live TV Saturdays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on EWTN, with an encore at 2:30 a.m. on Sundays. We'll also be available soon on Apple TV, Roku, and the Augustine Institute's multimedia platform, Form. Make a point of making Catholic Answers Live TV part of your weekly view, and we'll see you on the airwaves.
It might be said that anti-Catholic notions of the Church's history are the original fake news. With all the misinformation being spread, where does one look for the truth? In The Real Story of Catholic History, Professor Steve Weidenkopf gives you the facts on over 50 of the most common misconceptions about Catholic history and shows how to answer them simply and powerfully. Whether it's to answer claims about Catholicism's supposedly pagan origins, old myths about the Inquisition that never seem to go away, or more modern errors that anti-Catholics put forth, The Real Story of Catholic History is an essential resource for every Catholic's bookshelf. Order your copy of The Real Story of Catholic History today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Killett, your host. Our guest is Dr. Carrie Gress, and we're talking about evangelization today. Dr. Gress is the author of many books, including The Marian Option, God's Solution to a Civilization in Crisis, and Nudging Conversions, A Practical Guide to Bringing Those You Love Back to the Church. And we had a caller, anonymous caller before, who wanted to know if there were books that could that would help with the question about the historicity of Jesus. And I do think this has something to do with the fact that our culture is losing touch with reality more and more. I mean, with basic questions, anybody who has studied the question, there's almost universal acceptance of the fact that, yes, Jesus was a historical figure. He lived and he did these, even if you don't believe in miracles. But there's more, I think there's a lot of young people who are not even sure anymore that the earth is a sphere, a ball, you know. They think The earth, like the earth is flat, is a big thing that's come back. So we do have to go back to basics in many ways. And Chris Check, our president, suggested Why Believe in Jesus, the DVD from Trent Horn, or The Real Jesus, 20 Answers by Trent Horn. Those are in-house books that we have here at Catholic Answers, which I am ashamed to say I could not think of on the fly. Several folks on Facebook also offered ideas. The Case for Jesus, Brant Petrie. And Bishop Robert Barron, The Case for Jesus. And somebody suggested the Jesus of Nazareth, from the baptism in the Jordan to the Transfiguration, which is Pope Benedict's brilliant book. I don't know if that does quite the historical thing that you know, kind of gets into proving the historicity of Jesus. But try those books out and call back again if we can be helpful. Anonymous, thanks so much for that. 888-318-7884 is the number. Dr. Gress, when we talk about evangelization, we had I guess that last caller was a salesman. I guess there is something about it that has a sales-like quality, but we're not really trying to sell something, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, we aren't trying. I mean, we're trying to gift something to someone.
Yes. Okay.
And I think that's the big difficulty, is the difference that people feel. Because when we evangelize, we feel this pressure to tell people everything that we know, or, you know, which I call the fire hose effect. Sometimes we give people too much information. Sometimes we're not really reading into where people's interests are or what it is that they're struggling with. And I think it's, you know, that one of the things that we have to do is sort of make the faith relevant to people's lives. Sometimes they don't even know why they should believe. But on the other hand, we have a lot of people that are dying to believe, that would love to have a relationship with God, but they don't even really know where to start. So you have to kind of read your audience with anything. And that's certainly one of the struggles, is just kind of knowing who you're talking to. I remember, you know, one point telling a friend of mine about Thomas's proofs for God's existence. And of course, you know, she just looked at me blankly, and we like moved on to talking about makeup or something. I mean, it was just one of these, like, I clearly was not addressing her as a person, and it was more sort of giving her what I thought she would find engaging and interesting, but it wasn't the case. And so I think that's one of the big keys to evangelization too, is just figuring out who your audience is, what it is that they need, how you can help them with it. And not to fire hose them by giving them way too much information, but also being humble enough to say, you know, if I don't know an answer, I can go look it up. I mean, but we've got 2,000 years of the faith here to work with. So not, you know, most of us are not going to have encyclopedic memories of you know, everything that we've read about the faith, or even know where to go. So that's why, obviously, Catholic Answers is such a great resource. And I mentioned you guys in the book, because you have so many great resources to point people to, which is a wonderful place to start, I think.
888-31-TRUTH is the number. Dr. Carrie Gress is our guest. We're talking evangelization. You were mentioning something about culture, building an infectious culture, to me at the break. And follow up with that.
Yeah. Well, I in my book, Nudging Conversions, I think I really take kind of an approach of building a Catholic ethos, building a culture of engaging people and building relationships with them. And there's a new book that just came out in January called The Culture Code, and it's written by a man named Daniel Coyle, I believe. A best-selling author in a book called The Talent Code. Anyway, he's done a lot of kind of business ideas. And this book looks at all these great flourishing businesses, everything from, you know, Google, the Navy SEALs, Zappo, all these different kinds of organizations. And he's seeing what's common about all of these. And at the heart of it are really a few things that come down to very subjective things. It's and he says these are the cultures that are infectious. People want to work in these places. They love their jobs. And but I think at the heart of it is really this idea of family. And it, you know, people, the CEO will listen to people that are much lower on the ladder and take ideas. And you know, as I say that, I'm not suggesting that the Catholic Church sort of adjust any of its teaching by any stretch of the imagination. But I think that there are some basic human things that we can do that can help make Catholicism much more infectious, like looking people in the eye during the sign of peace, and really engaging people as human persons. And I think that that's what becomes very infectious And additionally, he also talks a great deal about just living a life full of joy and mission and sense of it. And there's no greater mission, of course, than the Catholic Church. So there were so many wonderful ideas in this book, The Catholic Code. I mean, it's definitely, there's nothing mentioned about faith in it. But I think that there's a lot in it that just really jogged my thoughts on how it is that we can evangelize in an infectious way instead of feeling like we're always on the defensive and we have to be sarcastic or sort of mimic the culture, you know, pulling out our favorite snark on Twitter. And yet, I think if we look at what really works for evangelization, snark, sarcasm, negativity, none of those things actually work. But that's kind of where the culture is directing us. So we have to really reevaluate and see what works to live, you know, pass on this joy and this peace and give people a real gift of the faith.
Well, isn't that when you say that, it reminds me so much of the Church of the Apostles, that there were these people who lived in a way that was radically different from those around them. They were caring for each other. If you were sick, you could go to them, you know. They were taking in abandoned children and all that. And so you could look at that. Maybe as our culture kind of takes a journey into darkness in many ways. There's a way in which maybe we're being called to do that, like to be better at being a joyful community that doesn't look like everything else.
And I think that's dead on. I think that's exactly right, because it is like it's darker. It's easier to look like the light and to
You don't have to be quite as holy. You can be kind of mid-level.
Exactly. You can be very mediocre and
still shine
as well. No, I don't mean that. But the point being that I think it is those little things. And you know, if you look at conversions too, Joseph Pierce has this great story about how mercy was shown to him in a dramatic situation. I think he was, going to be arrested for something when he was a white supremacist, and someone showed him mercy, and that was one of the first great pieces of his conversion, was that mercy shown, that he knew he should have really, you know, taken the hit for whatever it was, in fact maybe even quite literally. So I think that those things cannot be overlooked, and I think what we need to do is stop mimicking what the culture's doing as Catholics and start looking at what, you know, these gospel principles of kindness. And these are, again, great business practices. This is not something that just works for evangelization, but this is what makes for a place of a workplace where people really want to be and really flourish and can become much more like, you know, who God wants us to be instead of just kind of copying everybody else.
Yeah. Let's go to Patricia in Wallace, Idaho, listening to EWTN on Sirius XM satellite radio. Patricia, your question for Dr. Carrie Gress.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Two quick questions, hopefully. I started St. Paul Street Evangelization like 4 years ago in Juneau, Alaska, and I had permission from the bishop and all that, but I still can't get together a team, and I even had the Knights of Columbus help pay for business cards.
Can I just say, Patricia, it seems to me like getting a team to go out in the streets of Juneau, Alaska might be hard for anything. Like, are we talking summer or winter here? When you were
summertime mostly.
Oh, okay.
Suggestions, but I'm a single grandmother. I'm just finishing up a trip for 2.5 months, and I've handed out miraculous medals and my business cards, which actually have St. Paul Street Evangelization on them, because I pick up people from the cruise ships and take them up to Mass. But I just wondered if she had any suggestions to actually get a team together. The main issue that I see is people say, you know, they're scared of the word evangelization. And basically what I've done is I've evangelized the Catholics. I put CDs and brochures about being Catholic in the back of the churches.
So, what about, you know what, Patricia, just because we're running a little bit near to the break, Dr. Gress, any ideas about putting an evangelization team together?
I mean, that's really comes back to the Holy Spirit. I think, you know, you can't change the word. You can't say we're actually going trick or treating or something. I mean, this is a difficult, it's a difficult work. And I think you're doing an amazing job clearly by evangelizing Catholics where they are in the church. I mean, the choir needs evangelizing. I think this is one of the things that we're not paying enough attention to in terms of recognizing that Catholics need evangelizing. And so I'm really grateful to hear you say that, and maybe that's where God is leading you to work. If the team's not materializing, maybe God wants you to go in a different direction and start with a choir, and then the team will materialize. But yeah, I think we got to strengthen our own crew first before we can. Sometimes before the fruit's going to show up somewhere else.
How does that strike you, Patricia?
That's great. I have one other quick question.
Okay.
I'm a single grandmother working with a special needs and trying to adopt. And I was thrilled to hear about Helena Daly, and I will look it up. But
great,
do you have any comments or websites for grandparents raising grandchildren, especially in the Catholic Church?
You know, we're actually going to try and cover that demographic. I don't feel like it gets enough attention, and I feel like this is an age when people really have sometimes they have more time, but they really start asking deeper questions. And I feel like that we need to address that. The baby boomer generation was not well catechized. And I'd love to start posting more for that demographic on Helena Daly.
Patricia, we do have to go to a break, but thank you very much for that call.
Thank you.
It is wonderful to hear the spirit of wanting to evangelize, but we really are in a situation where it just seems like there's going to have to be 1,000, maybe 1,000,000 different experiments where we just try everything because the culture is so much in need. Dr. Carrie Gress is our guest. She is the author of Nudging Conversions, A Practical Guide to Bringing Those You Love Back to the Church. We're talking evangelization. 888-31-TRUTH is the number, and we'll be right back with more of that after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Call us now with your question on Catholic Answers Live.
We live in an age of indifference. Does truth exist? Maybe. Is there a God? Who knows? Does it matter what religion you believe in? Probably not. If you think so, fine. I'm spiritual, but not religious. Apologist Matt Nelson says this indifference is the great spiritual sickness of our age, a product of the relativism that dominates our culture. And rather than remain indifferent, he did something about it. In his new book, Just Whatever, Matt looks at the different kinds of indifference you likely encounter in your friends and family members, and maybe in yourself, and offers an antidote to the problem that plagues our age. Order your copy of Just Whatever today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
St. Paul's street evangelization isn't like other evangelism you might have seen on the streets. We don't yell, and we don't force anyone to pay attention to us. Instead, St. Paul's street evangelization is committed to presenting a positive, passionately Catholic presence to a world hungry for truth. For more information, or to start a chapter of your own, go to www.streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com. It's time to do our part.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Do you enjoy tedious lectures full of facts you'll never use? We didn't think so. That's why we're launching the Council of Trent, Trent Horn's engaging new podcast. Every week, you'll get lively lessons in Catholic teaching, as well as a new conversation roadmap that will help you share your Catholic faith with anyone, anytime, anywhere. Visit TrentHornPodcast.com now to find out how you can subscribe to this exciting new podcast.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Carrie Gress is a brilliant Catholic woman, teacher, PhD, philosopher, and author and all that. But she's also just a great guest to start your week out with. And we're talking evangelization. And what better way is there to start a week on Catholic Answers Live? I am Cy Kellett, your host. Our number, 888-318-7884. And let's go to Jane in St. Louis, Missouri, listening on 1460 Covenant Radio. Jane, you are on with Dr. Carrie Gress.
Thank you. Boy, I've really enjoyed what you've said so far. I'm thinking of joining a group that goes and evangelizes door to door. And I just, you know, I said, how successful are you? And she said, well, you know, don't worry about success. Mother Teresa just said, worry about being faithful. But I don't want to spend a lot of time on something that I could be spending time doing something that would gather more believers in Christ.
Right. Right. Yeah. I would definitely understand your hesitation. I mean, we want to be fruitful. We don't want to be, and obviously, you know, whatever you're going to do is fruitful. If you're living in the sacraments, if you're going to confession regularly, you're going to adoration, you're praying for evangelization. But I think there's also that sort of niggling in the heart of things that God wants us to do that we're sort of led to. It doesn't always happen that way. And sometimes we have to just get over our fears, and God really wanted us to do that and just try it. So I would say, I would suggest try it and just sort of see, you know, maybe it's something, it's like praying in front of an abortion clinic. I mean, this is a scary thing to do before you do it. And then when you do it, you're like, why haven't I been doing this for a long time? There's so much incredible, there's so much that happens there. So I would suggest, I would encourage you to try it if someone has asked you. But in the meantime, go deeper in your own spiritual life and see the people that that Christ brings into your life. Because a lot of times it's that one-on-one encounter with a relative or a neighbor or coworker that that's really where the evangelization can happen much more deeply, because you know that person, you know their needs, you know that you can love them as they are and try and help them along in very real and specific ways instead of it just being, you know, stranger kind of encounter.
Jane?
Okay. Oh, thank you. I want to say one more thing. What I've done for Halloween before is offered holy cards. I give them candy.
Oh, that's a
and
great
a holy
idea.
Because we get a lot of kids from the city who are not Catholic. And I say, well, tomorrow we're celebrating a special feast. And so anyway, and I try to find
That's a great idea.
Pictures of black saints, but it's a little bit harder. But so anyway, that's just one little thing I do.
Oh, we got plenty of black saints. I don't know why it's, what are we?
Well, they're just not printed as much. It's the Africans, you know, St. Augustine.
Is there a racial bias in the holy card business? I am very disturbed by that if that's the case, because we have plenty of black saints. Jane, I wanted to suggest something to you before you go, if you don't mind. We did an interview with a priest, Father John Gisaldo, last May, May 26th of last year. And he goes door to door and it just talks about how he does it and what works and what doesn't work. And so if you want to give that a listen, you can find that at Catholic.com. Just put in door-to-door Catholicism and it'll pop right up for you. Jane, thank you very, very much for that call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Ann in Hobbs, New Mexico, listening on Sirius 130. That's EWTN on Sirius Radio. Ann, you're on with, excuse me, Anna, you are on with Dr. Carrie Gress.
Hi, Anna.
Did we lose you, Anna?
How are you guys? Can you hear me?
Oh, we can. Yes.
Now we can. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. My question is, my sister-in-law recently switched over to, I guess, a Protestant church. Mm-hmm. And I'm the godmother of their child, of my brother's daughter. And I was trying to try to bring them back to the church. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how to put it to where she doesn't get on the defensive line, because she's very it turns into an argument really fast, and I don't want it to be that. I just want to have a dialogue or some kind of just civil conversation with her about it.
And I think that's the biggest issue with evangelization. I mean, I've done it so poorly. It can so easily turn into conflict, and that can be really hard. And I think, you know, one of the things you can do is just even preface it. Just say, I'm trying to understand what it is. And even the things that you just said to us, I don't want to have conflict. I just, you know, going back to that idea of questions. Have in your head five different questions that you can ask her that you don't even need to respond to. You just need to listen to her. People, amazing things happen to people when they feel listened to. And that might be one of those things that just, there's something in her mind that it jogs, or it's something that you can even be aware of. You know, we know the reasons why people join the Protestant church. You know, it's community. There's various reasons, but they're usually pretty, similar, and just kind of dig into that a little bit, in a way that you're trying to disarm her and make it clear that you don't want it to be, you don't want her to be on the defensive. You love her and you want to understand where she's coming from. And I think if you can communicate those pieces to her and not feel like you have to defend the church, you just are there to listen, and then let time and the Holy Spirit and your own prayers for her and for the family really help work on those areas of her heart that she's finding somehow met in the Protestant church. I think that would be a great place to start.
Okay, Anna?
Okay. Yes. Real quick, another question, sorry. Where does that leave me as far as being her daughter's godmother? Because if I can't teach her the Catholic...
Right. It leads you that you need to say more rosaries. You need to say more chaplets. You got to do the work. You got to put more, invest more into that family and into the daughter. Even if it's not where you can't teach them directly, you get to do the spiritual pouring into that family in a very dramatic way. And it may end up being the case that the daughter ends up bringing her mother back to the church. I mean, we see plenty of that these days too. So I would be really encouraged by that. You have this sort of thread of grace with this family, and God really wants you to tap into that.
Okay, Anna.
And then, yes, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
You're giving out homework assignments. People are going to stop calling. Make people work.
Well, we are talking about evangelization. I'm making it pretty easy on folks, though, actually.
Yeah, right. I do recall something about taking up your cross each day and following. I feel I remember something about that. Joe in Massachusetts, listening on 12:30 a.m., you are on with Dr. Kerry Gress. Joe, your question, please.
Hi. I have a question about it's a two-part question, but the first thing, it directly impacts my family. I was married about 13 years. I have 4 kids, and through the whole, as the marriage went along and things had started to deteriorate, my kids started to pull away from the church. The age ranges are now they're 18 up to 26, and when I asked them about certain things, I guess it started back when they were going to CCD, where they didn't understand the CCD classes, the information, and mm-hmm. they didn't feel like they were learning anything. Mm-hmm. And things mm-hmm. progressed over time. Some of them made their confirmation. Mm-hmm. One of them hasn't yet, but even though they made confirmation, it's still, their faith is really weak. I tried mm-hmm. to talk to them and I asked them about like what questions they have and that type of thing. But it's like, it's a real tough battle. One of them is even considering paganism.
Joe, I really am not trying to interrupt you, and I apologize for that, but we are at the top of the hour. So, I gather that some ideas on kind of re-evangelizing adult children. Is that what you're looking for?
Well, I'd like to bring them back to the church.
Okay, fair enough.
With go
ahead.
No, and I think that's what you hear over and over again. And, some of it, catechism may not have been deep. It may not have been relevant. There's so many different reasons, but the bigger thing is really the culture just makes it so, so difficult for us to hang on to our faith, especially when children go to college, young adults go to college. And this is really where the parents doing, getting on their knees and praying the rosary for their kids is where you got to start. Because we have to make this relevant to their lives. And sometimes that's really hard to do, but you got to start with the Holy Spirit. You got to start with pouring out of that grace where they can then have the eyes to see how this fits into their life, because the culture is certainly not going to ever make an argument that it's important for their lives. So as their dad, you got to start working on that, on praying them back in.
Joe, thanks very much for that call. I would say that's the most common question we get in Catholic radio.
Yeah.
How can I help my children back to the faith?
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's where, you know, Our Lady comes in too. She's a spiritual mother of all of us, and she wants to help bring these children back. And that's why the rosary is so powerful, to bring them back.
I was going to mention The Marian Option. That's your book, The Marian Option, God's Solution to a Civilization in Crisis. Good book to get. But Nudging Conversions, A Practical Guide to Bringing Those You Love Back to the Church, is an excellent one for any parent who has that question.
This came from my own experience of evangelizing my own family. So, yeah, it was really born of my own experience.
Dr. Carrie Gress, thanks for another great hour. Thanks for starting us off with Power on a Monday. I want to remind folks that your new project, the news just out today, that you have started a news aggregation site and for Catholic women. Is that the right way to say it? For Catholic women or for?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I didn't know.
Men can read it, but yeah, it's for women.
Okay, thanks, because I read it today and I didn't want to be in trouble.
You're not.
It's Helena Daily is the name of the website, Helena Daily. You can sign up. You can get an email. You can just check it as your news aggregator each morning. Lots of stuff there about the Catholic faith, about knowing your Catholic faith, about sharing and living your Catholic faith, and lots of stuff about other stuff as well. I'm sure you will enjoy it. Give it a try. HelenaDaily.com. We'll be right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.